Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. It is Thursday. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Appreciate you hanging out here on the program. You know what? Happy opening day. Excuse me. It's basically a national holiday. Happy opening day. Try to have the self-control not to sign up for every single MLB package for every MLB team. Maybe just give it a couple. I did that last year and the year before. And the year before that. I want to watch every Cubs game. May. What was I thinking, paying for these games? Don't worry. We got a great MLB preview lined up for you. We did our predictions, and I even seeded some forced optimism into those predictions. I'm going to go with, let's look here, one, maybe two crazy things I think could happen in MLB. We'll do that in about 20 minutes. I did make a mistake, and I'm going to own that. Not going to hide from that. Not one of those radio hosts. Not one of those reporters. We'll explain that later in the show. I know we talked Caitlin Clark yesterday when the news broke that the Big Three would like to pay her a whole bunch of money to play in a very small number of games. And I think my initial reaction, which is still my reaction, is that's a lot of cash. Don't do it. The reason why, the concern I have for Caitlin Clark, a former player gave voice to that. We're going to play those comments and give you some more insight and perspective with 24 hours to reflect on why the most, and she is, she's worth every ounce of attention, one of the most mesmerizing basketball players on earth should not necessarily take her bag and run. She has some things to lose. We've got a great buy or sell. Sweet 16 starts today. I'll be at Clemson, Arizona, and I've got kind of a dilemma there that John, that's my co-host. Love that guy, but he's not Pretty Daddy. Nobody's Pretty Daddy. I'm sorry, I got your name wrong. Tom!
It's a good thing I'm not sensitive.
In fairness to me, okay? I got two full-time shows, right? I got two producers. You're awesome. I got CBS Sports HQ hits that feel like they're every 30 minutes now. I get a little confused. I almost called John. He's John Gonzalez. He's one of my tri-hosts on Beyond the Arc podcast. I almost called him Tom last night at like 1:30 in the morning your time.
As long as you don't call him Pretty Daddy.
As long as you don't call him Draymond Green or anybody Draymond Green. It's become a put down. Let's get into this because it is not new that human beings, that athletes, that stars get in their own way. It's one of the weird realities of just being people, right? We sometimes are our own worst enemy. And it is bizarre, and it is strange, and it is certainly significant to the fortunes of the most dominant basketball team of the last 10 years, I think, in the Golden State Warriors, that Draymond Green does not seem to be able to help himself. I saw a great thing on Twitter, and again, I can't remember who did it. It might have been Worldwide Wob. I'm sorry if I'm misattributing this hilariousness to someone, but it was, it's inevitable that Draymond Green is going to fight Logan Paul in a boxing match at some point, right? It's just, he has become a caricature of himself. Only when that happens, normally it's because athletes are no longer impactful. They've lost their relevance. They've usually retired. They're certainly not important to their team. Draymond Green is still a member of the Golden State Warriors, despite their lowly spot in the standings. And they did have a big win against the Magic last night. They're barely hanging on to that 10th and final play-in spot. If you don't know what the... Everybody's read on their playoffs, right? It's hard to keep up with. But there's a couple play-in scenarios in the NBA for a few years now. The Warriors are in the most jeopardy in the final spot. And Draymond Green yesterday, last night, 30 seconds in, it was actually 4 minutes, but just, it was a blink of an eye, just decided to argue so aggressively with an official in a game against the Orlando Magic that the Warriors needed to win, and they did win without him, that he got ejected. It wasn't even a foul call that was on him. It wasn't even a call against Draymond Green. And there was a moment, and I've watched it a few times, and so has the prettiest of daddies, Pretty Daddy CBS on Twitter, where when Draymond Green got kicked out, basically with 44 minutes left to go in a key game, it looked like his co-star, Steph Curry, was crying. It's hard to tell if they were tears. It was very minimal. But I don't think I'm overstating it when I say it sure looked like he was. And it's, I think the normal perspective, the normal thought, the normal analysis from people that saw this is he's sad. I don't think they're, people can have tears in their eyes when they get angry. People can get so mad their emotions kind of flood up a little bit. And I think that's what it was, because Draymond Green has continued to let down his team again and again and again and again. And if you let somebody down on accident, right, once or twice, and I think once in a really significant way, there's a level of forgiveness, there's a level of understanding. People make mistakes. If you do the same mistake and it is detrimental to your team five or six or seven times, it starts to feel like a betrayal, whatever's going on. And let me just, before we get into Stephen Curry being, I think, extremely pissed off, before we get into maybe hearing from Steve Kerr, or even Draymond Green's tone-deaf tweet, let's just give you some context here. Draymond Green has had a year and a half of utter lack of accountability and has helped single-handedly, literally and pun intended, single-fistedly, to destroy his organization's culture. And this has been a recurring theme. And last night, being ejected from a game when this Warriors team is trying to hang on and fend off the Houston Rockets from an utter collapse, getting himself kicked out has to be heard in the context of, in October of 22, Draymond Green punched his teammates a year and a half ago, Jordan Poole, during training camp, which began a spiral of events. Defending champions, a spiral of events that have led the Warriors to mediocrity. Because this is the problem, and John Gonzalez did coin this, it's a great phrase, it's not mine. Draymond Green is the problem, he's also the solution. And when your solution is your biggest problem, you're screwed. That's the deal. I mean, look at the NFL. It's why, if you have a quarterback you have to count on that you can't count on, you don't have any chance. It's why we talk about Dak Prescott so much. It's why Kyler Murray is such a warning sign for those of us worried about Caleb Williams. If your biggest solution is your biggest problem, it ain't going to work. A year and a half ago, Draymond Green punches Jordan Poole. In April of 2023, remember, it's hard to keep track of this stuff. That's what you have a radio producer for, right? You have one too? It's really helpful. You didn't. Neither did John, neither did Tom. He, Draymond Green, stepped on Domantas Sabonis, the Kings' star player. By the way, that guy should be treated like a top 5 or 10 player. Isn't? He's not? This would be like doing it to LeBron. Steps on Sabonis during the Kings' Warriors' first round showdown in the playoffs, which the Warriors won. Draymond suspended just one game. In June, a few months later, Draymond signs that 4-year, $100 million deal with the Warriors. So he gets rewarded. Why? And by the way, Clay's got his deal coming up. Good luck. Because the Warriors still thought they had a window. They just didn't realize that Draymond wasn't done trying to shut it and then nail it shut and put boards up to make sure there was no chance at a championship. Because in July, the Warriors trade Jordan Poole to the Wizards for very, very little. The culmination of Draymond Green forcing that organization to part with a guy that I know he's a meme now, but have been a part of their future. And by the way, not for nothing, Draymond Green destroyed that guy's career with that punch. Jordan Poole's a grown man, so you have to own your own stuff. But still, this is not a victimless reality for the people around Draymond Green. And not even victimless in the sense of if you want to say, well, teams don't win all the time, so it's not a big deal. It's a big deal to Jordan Poole. In November, so now we're going not that long ago from here, remember, Draymond Green put Rudy Gobert, again, pretty important player. And we didn't really know it then, but that Timberwolves team is an actual contender. They're an actual top Western Conference team. Puts Rudy Gobert in a headlock and drags him. Now, then he gets his five-game suspension. And the warnings, the warning signs are going off about Draymond Green. At this point, you have to have had 15 conversations with the people in Golden State. You have to have gotten some help. Adam Silver has had, I'm sure, people contact Draymond Green. There's been conversations. You can't do it. So what does Draymond do in December? He strikes Yusuf Nurkic, now of the Phoenix Suns, in the face. And he was suspended indefinitely. By the way, the other day, Draymond Green fouled a guy. It looked like a flagrant one or two. Nothing. Because nobody wants to deal with this. Draymond misses his 12 games. The Warriors aren't very good. He comes back. He's critical to what they do. And then you have moments like the other night where he wasn't really punished, and moments like last night where he gets himself ejected. He is a cancer on that team. He's a cancer on that team. And I said this when he was doing the NBA on TNT stuff, before all this really flared up, that it's uncomfortable when people in positions of importance in a sport get to cover themselves and have a microphone and get to use TNT not as a place to give analysis about basketball, but propaganda about their actions, which is what it's become. And Draymond's got his own podcast where he does that, and he's got his own Twitter. He tweeted last night, great, great dub. Appreciate my dogs holding it down. On to the next one. Bounce back. Man, everybody's over it. And you're going to listen to, right here, Steph Curry post-game. After the Warriors got the win, by the way. Tough. And the Magic are a pretty interesting basketball team right now. Steph Curry definitely sounds over the Draymond Green conundrum.
We know how important the season is, or this part of the season is, and our ability to get into a rhythm and secure a play-in opportunity and give ourselves a shot. You don't want to have self-inflicted wounds when it comes to that. We all care. We all are passionate about the game and our chances to have something to play for down the stretch. So you give everything you got to this game, and that's the emotion.
I wish you could see the clip because he just looks so. You know what he looks like, and I guess I'll just revert back to what I know, and Tom will relate to this in a way he would down to 4 years ago. He looks like a parent when they're at the end of their rope, not even with their kids, maybe with their spouse or the daycare provider or the vice principal who wants you to have a meeting that's unnecessary or whatever the situation is, and he's just trying really hard to control his temper because it's not acceptable. Because Steph Curry believes, and I would say knows, because that's what GOATs, how they think, that the Warriors can be something special if they can get into the real playoffs. But at the 10, you're going to have to win two games, one probably against the Lakers, and the other maybe against the Suns and or the Mavs, coin flips, to play maybe the Nuggets. I mean, you are not, we'll see where the Nuggets fall, but obviously the 9-10 winner, whoever wins that game, if they win the next play-in game, would play the one seed. If the one seed is Denver, your season's basically over. None of that should have been required. Draymond Green should have been here and focused and doing what he had to do. And about Steph crying and whether there were tears in his eyes, I wish the reporters had pushed him more, but Steph on that and other things, just he had more frustrating things, or he was frustrated as he said more things about Draymond Green.
We need him. He knows that. We all know that. So whatever it takes to keep him on the floor, and be available, that's what's got to happen, especially at this point in the year. So it's a tough way to start the game, but I am extremely proud of every single person that stepped foot on the floor tonight and responded the way that they did.
Proud of every single person that stepped foot on the floor tonight and responded the way they did. He ain't proud of Draymond Green, and he's over it. When your biggest solution to your problem becomes an even bigger problem than that problem, you're screwed. It's going to be a I was wrong Thursday, so let's just lean into it. I really thought the Warriors could do something special. And by the way, I'm not like many of my NBA colleagues who I think study what everyone else is saying to make sure that they don't, you know, step a toe don't color outside the lines. I am in on the idea, especially in a parity-laced NBA where I don't think people realize the difference between 8 and 2 is not what it used to be, that somebody can come out of the play-in and do real damage. And I don't know who it is. I have some suspicions, but I think the Heat, for a variety of reasons, depending on matchups, and they did it last year, can make a run. Look, I know Phoenix is flawed. Pretty good win for the Suns yesterday. If they're in the play-in, I think that's an interesting team. I'm not very high on the Mavericks, but there's certainly a lot of analytics and just talent between Luka and Kyrie that say, if it's an if, I don't think they'll be there ultimately, but they're in that race. If they're in the play-in, Dallas could be dangerous. I still think LA can be really dangerous, and Gabe Vincent's coming back, which I had reported erroneously isn't the case. I'll explain later. That is, I think, very significant. Even without his return, the Lakers, I think, can be really dangerous and really good, and the fact that the Lakers had that big win against the Bucks without LeBron, there are some green shoots of life there, just beyond the big two in L.A. There's a lot of teams that can come out of the play-in and can be really successful. I thought the Warriors were the top of that list. And by the way, I probably shouldn't be selling my stock in them the way that I am, because they have Steph Curry. They can still do it. That is the over-analysis, but it's an accurate over-analysis. But I also buy into dysfunction, and I also believe that human psychology and interactions is really, I know that it is significant, in a way that maybe a lot of people don't want to talk about because you can't measure it. You can't go to Basketball Reference or NBA Stats and sort it, have it tell you what you're supposed to say. But it matters. And normally, the dysfunction behind the scenes that can imperil a team is hard to see, hard to report on, hard to really grasp. When it bubbles up this much, right? The Clippers talked a week ago about how much basically they hate each other and they hate everything, and it ain't going well. When it bubbles up this much, it's telling you the reality. And the reality is Draymond Green has destroyed, I think, the Warriors' chances this year. And that's too bad, because he destroyed their chances last year. And by the way, if we're going to pile on with honesty, the Warriors should have been the greatest team, single-season team in NBA history when they won 73 games, and they were up 3-1 in that series against LeBron. And do you know what Draymond did? He kicked LeBron where the sun don't shine after a repeated pattern of doing that, and he missed a critical game at home, Game 5, if I remember right, and they lost. And momentum swung, and they lost the series. Did they lose it because of Draymond Green? No. Did they lose it because of Draymond Green? Yes. It's complicated, and it's both, just like this season. Shame on Draymond Green. Shame on his shamelessness. And shame on him knowing they can't win without him. But he's starting to prove they can't win with him either because of him. All right, 855-212-4CBS. Happy opening day. The other day, Tom, I was we use this technology when I'm doing Beyond the Arc, 2 o'clock Eastern daily, although I'm not on today, but still watch John and Ashley. Why am I using this voice? I don't know. Subscribe on Apple or Spotify or YouTube or I don't know, everywhere. We use this app to do that podcast where we log on, and then the administrator, the other producer, producer Aaron, has to let us in. And sometimes he's walking around or he's taking phone calls, so I always get there early. I'm always the first one there. I get in, I'm on the screen. What I didn't know is that if someone else pushes the join and they're waiting, they can hear anyone who's in the room. So I didn't know that Ashley Nicole Moss was just sitting there, and I was on screen alone for 5 minutes, right, doing other work, right? And I thought no one was there, so I was singing. I was singing for 5 minutes. I mean, I was singing. Some people sing in the shower. Nah, man. I sing when there's just nothing going, you know? Silence. Fill that silence with my non-loquaciousness.
With an original Bill Ryder song?
Yes, it was. Okay. It was, she was very amused, but also making fun of me. It was, Bill Ryder's in the room alone. He's in the room by himself. No one's here. Something like that.
Oh, no.
For 5 minutes.
That's rough.
At least I didn't sing something like, I hate everybody, I'm better than you. You know, no, it's just me singing that I'm by myself. All right, great talk. I will explain the Gabe Vincent oopsie-doop-padoopsie. That's not great. Don't love it, but I'm wrong, and I'm not going to pretend that I'm not. We're going to do some MLB opening day predictions. I'm going to force one stupid prediction in there. I'm just going to force it in there. Then I'm going to give you one that I actually completely believe. We got a lot of great stuff coming up, and I need Tom to help me. I've got to pick a team for my kid to root for today at a game I'm going to, and I don't know what to do because I'm not a bandwagon fake fan, but Tom is. So he's going to help me navigate that next on CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
My son yesterday asked me what a virgin was. It's a state in the east part of America when you put an A on the end. Sort of. I think there's some other spelling adjustments that are required.
On CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Tom, let me give you a proper good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Happy Friday, Junior, to you.
You're a Miami fan for no reason other than you like the colors. Miami football.
Come on, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that an inaccurate telling of your initial spark between you and Miami, a city that you had never been to when you chose that? Did your parents go to Miami? Did your uncle?
I have a cousin who went there.
Okay. Boy. After you were a fan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You see how I knew that intrinsically? I'm not making fun of you. That's not how I'm built. I'm a loyalty guy. I'm authentic, okay? I pick teams for the right reasons. You don't, and I love that about you. It's what the kids do now.
There's no relevant college football team in the area that I grew up in, so Miami was really good when I started getting into college football.
Wait, did Rutgers get rid of its football team?
I mean, basically.
Yeah, no, they didn't. I'm not good at geography. Isn't Maryland, if you drive to Miami before Miami?
Yes, there are closer teams in proximity. Yes.
Can't you hit like UNC or South Carolina while you're driving, even Clemson?
Yes, all of that is true.
Yeah? Did I get that?
Georgia as well.
Georgia. By the way, what is it about songs that are about places that are amazing? Right? That song? Country Roads? West Virginia? Me singing is really good for the audience growth. We saw a real spike at 7:24 Pacific time. Oh, in audience growth? No one complains to the FCC. I apologize. Here's my thing. My son Henry, who I love and is amazing, likes to go to games, and he likes to root for teams. He wants to root for teams, right? He wants to get a jersey, which we're not going to do, but he wants to, and he wants to really be emotionally invested. I got invited through a buddy, as I think I mentioned, to go to today's Clemson-Arizona Sweet 16 game, which will be a really fun game. And he has his heart set on who to root for. I have absolutely zero rooting interest in either team in this college basketball showdown. I will go so far as to say I could not care less who wins the game. I just want an interesting game. Do you have any advice as a bandwagon fan, as somebody who's familiar with these sort of, you know, different rules of fan engagement, where I should push, which direction I should push Henry?
I've been in Henry's shoes before. I was about the same age when I picked Miami. Here's my advice.
Get me.
Clemson, pick Miami? Clemson, Arizona, moving forward after today, after he sees these teams with his own eyes.
Okay.
Arizona has a better chance of sustaining success
and
being a better college basketball program. Pick Arizona.
They're also closer to L.A., so if it really took hold, I could get him there. But if it's Clemson, then I could, you know, wouldn't have to get him there. So that's a dilemma.
I feel like you're rooting for them for the
year.
Wrong reasons.
All right. I was just curious. Are you ready? It's time for the 2024 opening day Writer Than You analysis. I love this song. Weirdly, though, if it would come on the car when I was in high school, like on a Monday or Tuesday on my way to school, I'd be pissed off. Like, don't play this song on a Tuesday on my way to school at 8, at 8 in the morning.
Why?
The song's about sunshine and freedom, and I played baseball. Playing baseball and being away from those things. Not about, don't you wish you were doing those things, you go to Mrs. Johnson's algebra class you didn't study for. Right?
So a song you loved puts you in a bad mood.
Do you ever look back? When I was in my 20s, or early 30s, I would look back at photos of myself. They would pop up, and I would think, I was weird looking. Now I look back, and I think, damn, I was good looking. It's called age.
Yeah.
All right. Want to do some predictions with me?
Let's do it.
All right. Look, American League East, American League West, I think we're probably pretty aligned. I'm going Twins and, or excuse me, Central. East is tricky. I'm going Twins in the Central, and I'm going Astros. I don't want to go Astros. I'm going Astros in the AL West.
You going Rangers? Yeah, we're not aligned here at all.
Let's go. What do you got?
I'm going Rangers in the AL West.
Okay.
And I'm going with the Kansas City Royals in the Central.
So you put a bigger direction, because I've got the Rangers as one of my 21 wild. There's three wild card teams. And I got the Royals as a wild card. You got the Royals winning the division.
Winning the whole thing, yeah.
Bobby Witt, baby. Let's go.
Let's go, indeed.
Okay, well, let's go AL East. I will not choose the Yankees out of pure conviction. In large part because the Orioles are so good. Baltimore's so good. They won 100-plus games last year. They were young. I know it's a marathon, but they're kind of built for the regular season. Give me Baltimore in the AL East.
We are aligned on the East. I am on Baltimore as well.
I've got wild card Yankees, Rangers. I was going to go Blue Jays because I should go Blue Jays. I went Royals, and I thought that was a bold silliness. You've got Kansas City winning the Central.
You calling me silly?
Yeah. I'm calling me silly. You said, I'll see you're silly, and I'll raise you a silly.
I got the Yankees, Astros, and Minnesota Twins as my wild card teams.
Okay. National League, East and West, I got to think we're aligned here. Braves and Dodgers are huge. They're huge favorites to be World Series champions, one of the two. I don't know if you know this, but you can't both be in the World Series if you're from the National League.
Yes, and I think they're the two best teams in all of baseball. I am with you, Braves and Dodgers.
Would you like to know who my National League Central team is? The team that I think will shock the world.
I think I'm with you.
Chicago Cubs, baby.
Yeah.
It's the year. Put me in, coach. Baseball. I really want to be enjoying baseball in 3 weeks. And can I tell you something? I'm a little worried. Happy opening day. Baseball sucks. I love baseball. Do you ever you got a buddy you hung out with in college and then he moves to your town and you're like, this would be great. And then on the third time hanging out, you realize I don't really like this guy anymore.
We don't have anything in common anymore.
But we shared so much and, you know.
Only talking about the past.
No, yeah. I worry that's where baseball's gotten. And I think baseball's actually an improved product thanks to Robert Manfred. See, even though I'm not a big fan of him overall, I think the way the game has been sped up and some of the things they've done, here's the issue. The NFL is amazing. I think the NBA is vastly improved. I'm also required to watch it for work. I watch tennis. Most people don't, but they will watch golf. I will mix in the occasional UFC fight, probably more often than other people, because I used to cover it. College football is incredible, and I think only going to get better. What am I missing? I'm not a hockey guy, but there's only so much time. I'm not sure baseball's kept up with the Joneses. There's also 2 million podcasts that I listen to now. I try not to do podcasts forever, and now I can't. I listen to SmartList. I watch a ton of soccer. I listen to soccer podcasts. Obviously, Beyond the Arc. I listen back on repeat to myself talking. That's always fun. You should listen too. Happy opening day. Baseball's the worst. Rob Dill joins us in 30 minutes. Look, I've got the Padres, Philly, and I think the Cards are going to be a wild card team. I don't believe that they stay down very long in general. I think Ohtani's going to have assuming he plays this year, which I think he will, I think he's going to have an even better year than he did. There's a great story that ESPN had written, and I reread it last night, about how Ohtani has always lived on an island, and he has been this transcendent, larger-than-life star who's alone, even when he's surrounded by people, because of the language barrier, because of cultural differences, because, again, he had to and still will, but had to speak through an interpreter. I mean, there's a report out there, and you can believe it or not believe it, but one of the sort of pieces of reporting that have come out of this ePay scandal, his former translator, is that the claim from Ohtani people is that Ohtani didn't even know what ePay was saying when ePay told the Dodgers clubhouse, I've done all these things, he doesn't speak English. And it was just this idea of he's alone, right? He is, dropped me into the middle of Tokyo, and I'm playing table tennis or bocce or whatever I'm good enough at to even make this analogy work, and I don't speak Japanese, and I'm going to be alone too. But he's thrived in that, Tom. He's accustomed to that. And I think, like with Kobe Bryant during his scandal, some people, when things are going badly, really badly, the thing they love, the thing they thrive at, the thing that takes their mind off of it, the competition, is what is their salvation in the moment, or at least their escape. I think Ohtani is going to hit, I don't know, 350, 48 home runs, driving 140 runs. I think he's going to be amazing this year.
And I think that leads the Dodgers to being one of the best teams we've ever seen, man. That 1-2-3 offensively is as good as it gets.
They just gave their catcher a 10-year, $4 billion contract extension. It's not really worth that much. But, I mean, you're talking about a Dodgers team that the entire lineup is remarkably talented hitters. The pitching staff is great. Look, Yamamoto got roughed up. He's the high-priced pitcher they brought in to really presumably the ace, and he came from Japan too. The thing about guys that come from abroad is they one of two things tend to happen. They either thrive early because guys haven't seen their stuff and you're not familiar with their, or, and this is, I think, the case here, sometimes they get roughed up a little early. Sometimes it's a different level. The competition's at a higher level, but they are massively talented pitchers, and they figure it out. It's early. We'll see. I don't think Yamamoto is some guy that's a bum all of a sudden. The guy has amazing stuff. He's just going to have to figure it out. He is unbelievable. I mean, that pitching staff is pretty good, dude. Like, and Walker Buehler's not back yet, but he is doing some simulated games. You've got Tyler Glasnow who's in there. I mean, Dodgers are going to win 108 games this year.
They got this guy named Clayton Kershaw.
No, he's a bum. No future. Where does he even fall into their
four?
Yeah. Kershaw's Walker Buehler is a better pitcher now than Kershaw.
Yes, absolutely.
Obviously. I mean, he is an absolute. The thing about Kershaw is, and he's injured, right? I think he's hurt. But, like, the thing about Kershaw is he could pitch 15, 12 games this year. Who cares? As long as he's around for the playoffs, and even if he pitches every, and you won't go a six-man rotation, but even if he pitches every 6 days. I think Ohtani's going to be the MVP, by the way. I think he's going to have an incredible season. All right, ready?
Your National League and American League champions.
Obviously, I'm going Dodgers. I'm not going to say Royals because maybe you'll do it. I'm just going to go chalk, man. I'm going straight Baltimore. I think the Orioles are going to get it done. Dodgers win it all in four. Sweep.
Sweep?
Yeah, they sweep.
I'm with you on the Dodgers. Dodgers out of the National League. I'm going to go Houston Astros out of the second wild card spot, get to the World Series, but the Dodgers win.
How much baseball are you going to watch in the next week and a half? Honestly, don't lie.
I'm not going to lie. And what I found very strange is there was one afternoon Eastern time baseball game, which has already been postponed today. So there is no afternoon baseball on opening day on the East Coast. That's a crime.
Giants Padres is early today, though. Or early my time. It's probably like 4 o'clock your time.
Yeah.
I mean, which game is it?
You're supposed to have afternoon baseball.
All day.
All day.
So you don't consider 4 o'clock afternoon?
It's going to end.
There's a bunch of 4 o'clock games. You wanted that Angels-Orioles game.
Everybody should be playing in the afternoon.
It's an hour difference.
It's different.
What's the difference between 3:05 and 4:10? 4 o'clock is evening where you live? Well, you do go to bed at 7:30.
Right. You got to take that into account.
You have an early bedtime. So you think I should push Henry toward Arizona?
I think that's the way to go.
Here's what I want to do. I want to just enjoy the game and have him not root for either team.
I don't see that happening.
You think it's just going to be... He asked me if Caitlin Clark was going to be playing. Nobody. Speaking of Caitlin Clark, a warning sign why maybe you don't take the money that's being, and a lot of it that's being offered. We will throw that out there into the ether and discuss it after we get a CBS Sports Radio update from Andrew Bogish.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Honestly, the earth is an amazing place. I mean, think about, just a tree, and then there's just things you can eat hanging from it. People make fun of the idea of a money tree. Okay, you're not going to find money on a tree, but you can find fruit.
On CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the show. Okay, at the start of every one of the 2 hours, it used to be 4 hours, so I used to say hours, each of the 2 hours, we have a little montage that, who put that together? Back in the day, Tom, you weren't even working on the show then. Do you know? I don't know.
I wasn't, but I would guess Doug.
Yeah, probably Dougie. He was great. You know, I'm mean. I'm nice. I'm humble. I'll admit when I'm wrong. I'm not sure about the first three. I will admit when I'm wrong. And this sucks. I hate getting stuff wrong. It tears me up. I reported a week or two ago, time has no meaning in my life anymore because I am a father, that Gabe Vincent, among a couple other guys, the Lakers officials, expected them, and he would miss the remainder of the season. A short time later, Mark Stein reported, basically, that's wrong. He said, no, he's coming back. And Stein's great at his job. So I reached out to the people that had given me this info. And it was, look, you can believe what you want to believe. It came from a very reliable place on second check-in. And what I was told was, it doesn't matter to me. It makes me look like an idiot, and I am an idiot because I'm wrong. Shams has reported that Gabe Vincent will be back this weekend. But what I was told from sources, those sources, thanks, guys, was, look, rolled him out, expect him to be out. The people in Gabe Vincent's camp are aggressively pushing him to return, and it could go either way. Well, it went the other way. I got it wrong. My bad. No excuses. I messed it up. To the sources who gave it to me, you're the best. Thank you. Thank you so much for today. But I got it wrong, and I got to own that, and that's part of the deal. And I'm happy for the Lakers because it does increase their odds. He's incredibly important to what they do. I wish I had been correct. I am not, but it's very, very good news for LA, and credit to Mark Stein for getting that story right. Speaking of getting things right, sometimes you make the wrong decision. Caitlin Clark has a big one in front of her. It's a big one. $5 million is a lot of money, and that is the amount of money that I, by the way, TMZ reported this, that Ice Cube, who runs the Big Three, the Big Three would like to pay Caitlin Clark $5 million. And then Ice Cube came out, and I've interviewed him several times. He's Ice Cube, he's charming, he's funny, he's very smart. Said, oh, I didn't want this to get out. Just if you could go back in the backwards machine, I don't know this, but I would bet if I had $5 million, $5 million that Ice Cube got off the phone with TMZ, right? Cool, 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 cool. Click. Wait. This should never have gotten out because it's amazing publicity. And a lot of the reaction yesterday, and certainly on my NBA Beyond the Arc thread with John Gonzalez and Ashley Nicole Moss, they were of the mind, and so was my producer Aaron, take the money, take the money. My thing is no. Look, I love Caitlin Clark's game. I have a personal connection to that team. I'm into it. It's awesome. She would not succeed, I do not think. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think I am. Playing against those guys. And there would be, I said this yesterday, a personal vendetta. Massive jealousy. It may undercut her brand. It may, remember Lynn Sanity? I covered Lynn Sanity. Jeremy Lin was awesome. He was awesome, and everybody talked smack. And remember Darren Williams? Is that guy's name? I can't believe I can't remember the guy's name. That's how irrelevant he is. Well, we're going to stop him, and Jeremy Lin kept doing his thing. And I remember, because I had to move to New York for a month to cover it, and I remember Jeremy Lin looking at the schedule, and there was the Miami Heat back in the Big Three era. And I had covered that team every day. I'd lived in Miami the year or two before that, whatever it was. covering them every day, and they were quiet. LeBron wasn't saying, oh, Jeremy Lin looks great. Dwayne Wade, yeah, what a great player. Chris Bosh. Well, Chris Bosh was just reading books in the corner, but you get my meaning. And I thought, oh, Jeremy Lin's in trouble. Doesn't mean Jeremy Lin wasn't amazing. Doesn't mean Lin's sanity wasn't spectacular. Just meant sometimes you can get exposed. And the Heat, I went to that game, destroyed and humiliated Jeremy Lin. I've never been, just full disclosure, bad person, I guess, so relieved in my life by an outcome. Because I got to go home. I got to go home. I'm worried that what happened to Jeremy Lin, the end of something that was always going to be temporary for Jeremy Lin, will also happen to Caitlin Clark, only her thing can be lasting. She is the most mesmerizing women's basketball player on earth. She is one of the most mesmerizing basketball players on earth. Serena Williams doesn't need to beat Roger Federer in a 5-set or 3-set match to justify how great she is. It's unnecessary. In fact, I think it would have had the opposite effect. It would have unfairly undercut Serena Williams had that occurred as part of some money grab in a way that mattered, the way this would. And I'm telling you, Caitlin Clark will get undermined, or at least guys will try to. And this was already clear, but then on Gilbert Arenas' podcast, it came to the forefront. So you're going to hear different voices. The main point is going to come from Kenyon Martin. Lexi Brown, who played in the WNBA, basically said, thanks. Oh, you know, she can get some buckets. And I think Kenyon Martin in particular, his response on Gilbert Arenas' podcast, I think this is why you think long and hard if you're Caitlin Clark about taking the money.
She's going to score.
Huh? She ain't.
No, she's not.
No,
she's not. You don't think she's going to score a point?
No, she will not score.
I think she would
score. She would not score one.
I think she would score.
Lexi.
That's brute basketball.
Lexi.
I think she would score.
It's 3-on-3. She can't hide nowhere.
Here's the thing. Not score is pretty vicious. But it doesn't matter. If she gets embarrassed, if she doesn't play well, if guys play a little dirty or just shut her down, it undercuts, I think, what is her legitimate, no asterisk, real transcendent greatness. I know she's going to make whatever it is, $70,000 a year in the WNBA. I get that $5 million is a lot of money. Easy for me to say not to take it. I will just say this. She's already made $3 or $4 million that we know of in NIL money already. There is every chance that she'll keep doing insurance commercials if she is relevant in the WNBA. I can't tell someone how to quantify being a role model, is such a dumb word in this context, but a massively influential figure in a space that hasn't had any versus taking the money. But I can tell you that if she remains a massively influential figure, she will make money. This idea that she's going to go to the WNBA and disappear is silly. Because she went to women's college basketball, and she's shown. She still shines. Don't do it. Don't take the money. Don't take the bag. Don't take the cash. It's not worth it. Focus on your game. She's going to have enough trouble in the WNBA with jealousy and people coming at her and getting the best effort of every single player she goes against in that league. You think the ladies in the WNBA aren't a little put out? That some college kid at Iowa is getting all the love and all the shine. She's not even a pro yet. Her journey is not going to be easy. Think the ball kids meets LeBron's expectations in Steph Curry's body. That is what's coming. Look, Steph's one of the best players of all time. I don't know if Steph Curry had come out of Davidson, anointed as the chosen one, with this level of attention, as the highest paid player in the NBA from previous stuff before he got to the NBA, if he would have had the same career. I think he might have had guys go at him, try to destroy him, teammates who were jealous. Caitlin Clark's road's not going to be easy. I think she's going to do it. I think she can do it. I think she will do it. I'm rooting for her. Don't take the money. Don't take the $5 million. Do not do it. Are you going to watch? You got to watch Caitlin Clark, though, in the tournament. It's amazing.
I'm struggling with this big three. Like, I wouldn't blame her if she took the money. Like, I'd be taking the money. I'd be honest. I would be taking the money. I would not be thinking about my legacy.
You would take the money.
I would take the money, and I wouldn't think twice about it. And you're probably right. It would hurt my legacy. But I'm taking the money. I'm just being honest.
I mean, I know $5 million is a lot of money to you and me. But if she's already made $3 or $4 million... it's not as much money. It's a lot of money. Let me put it in terms that you and I can relate to. Let's say that you and I have saved in our lifetimes when we're 60, $300,000 in total. good luck us retiring. But let's say we have $300,000. That's a lot of money. And if somebody offers us $400,000, that's a lot of money. But it's not, right? It's relative to what you already have. And for her, it's not the end of her career. It's the beginning. So do you think she'll get humiliated in the big three?
No, not humiliated, but it's not going to be like it is at Iowa. That's for absolutely sure.
I mean, there's a physicality. Those dudes are gonna be physical with her and go at her.
It's also only 10 games.
I know. Look, I wouldn't want to be any college player, man or woman, going to that league with grown men who play in the NBA and have a chip on their shoulder where they're targeting you. Let's talk some in-depth baseball with our guy, Rob Dibble, coming up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.